Ladies and gentlemen, happy Sunday morning. Week 10 recap. College football delivered. Half of America saw it. YouTube TV can't get there. Can't handle their business. It's pathetic. Come on. Be better. All right. I'm Scott Roussel. I got college football experts. Zach Barnett, Doug Samuels, Johnny Bryce on important assignment. Traveling safely today, hopefully. Gentlemen, let's dive in. Let's kind of start top of the day and top of the standings and work our way down throughout the day. I'm gonna ask you your quick thoughts. Ohio State, Penn State, Ohio State hung 38. It was a game for a little bit, and then it just wasn't in the second half. Any thoughts?
Yeah, it was exactly what we predicted here on the show on Thursday. Just a methodical blowout. Just Penn State still got talent, but just not as enough as Ohio State. So they slowly pulled away, and it was about the margin we thought it was going to be. I'm seeing Julian Sayin getting Heisman love today. I'm not quite there yet. I think a lot of quarterbacks would put up similar numbers to him, given the defense he has and the skill talent he has. It's not a shot at him, but I'm not there with him. But Ohio State's the best team in the country.
I will staunchly disagree with you. I said it in week one after they dismantled Arch, or just beat Arch, Texas. I said Sayin's your Heisman winner, and I've been saying it every week since, and I still think Sayin's going to win the Heisman. Dude puts the – Zach, he puts the ball exactly where it should be thrown on every pass. It's unbelievable. Like he doesn't put it here when it needs to be here. He puts it here. It's spectacular, I think.
He's a very good player. By no means am I trying to say that he's not, but he has an ecosystem around him that a Pavia does not have.
Agreed. One of the things that I picked up on that game, which I was like, it's not great for Ohio State. When Penn State needed to run the ball and just needed to kind of create a 7-yard lane to run through, they did it. And I was like, yeah, Ohio State, where are we at, baby? But
yeah, their defensive tackle depth is not – that's their really one weak spot on that team.
I mean, still at the end of the game, Ohio State grew up less than 2 yards per rush. So they did a whole bunch of stuffing before they allowed that. The Julian Sayin conversation, he reminds me – and the Ohio State situation reminds me of Greg McElroy under Nick Saban. Like, manages the game really well, doesn't make a ton of mistakes. Not – like a step above game manager. I think I agree with Scott. He's one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the country. Went 20-23 or something yesterday. But it reminds me of he doesn't – we're going to see who he is when he has to step up in a big moment and make a huge play, and he hasn't had to do that yet this year. Like, he hasn't had a Heisman moment to be in that conversation.
Okay. Moving right along, Indiana went and did what Indiana does, which is such a fascinating statement, but good for them. But the opposite side of things, what we talked about on Thursday about this game is Maryland. Maryland got some wins against some nobodies. Well, they beat Wisconsin, but, I mean, Wisconsin's having a terrible season. But they're facing L's out. They lost Washington, Nebraska, UCLA, Indiana. They got Rutgers, at Illinois. You lose both of those. Play Michigan, you lose that. You finish with Michigan State, nobody cares at that point. They might lose 8 games on their way out. And if so, changes come in there.
Yeah, that'd be their second straight 4-8 season. And Locks has been there, which is now what, year 7 for him? Doesn't feel like he's been there that long, but he has. That's year 7 for him. So, yep.
Yeah, is what it is. Georgia found a way. I think we all kind of thought Florida would come out and give it everything they had. They did. Georgia had enough. It's an SEC. It's another Saturday in the SEC, right?
I mean, as Kirby Smart said, Georgia's extremely hard to kill when they're not playing Alabama. And when they need to go get a score, they get a score. When they need to get a stop, they get a stop. They got both Saturday. This is not the vintage. I mean, I think the 21-22 Georgia teams would probably beat this team by 10 points. But it's a different sport, and they're still finding ways to win week in, week out.
Same game. Lane took care of business versus South Carolina. You're starting to see a lot of grumbling amongst South Carolina players and fans saying, man, we should be better than this, and we're not. And why is that?
Yeah, and I don't have a whole lot to add to that. But for Ole Miss, an important win because we talked about last week avoiding a letdown. You got one of the two games you really needed to win on your 2-game road trip. You got that one, so you can't turn around and pull a Kentucky, pull a Florida from last season. So you continue just playing like that, buying in, you'll be where you need to be.
Shane Beamer's South Carolina story is going to be dominated by conversations of offensive coordinator hires. He had Satterfield first. I can't remember who they tried to hire and had in the building just after that. And it seems like they're on their third or fourth guy. I can't remember the story that surrounded that one, but just their inability to get who they want, like who they really, really want in there, choice 1A, and be able to roll with that has been really disappointing. And I think has really put a stain on Shane Beamer's tenure there.
I would completely agree with you, Doug, that it's been the inability to hire and retain a great staff. Some of the guys he had early on were pretty good, couldn't retain them. And then he went out a couple of times and tried to hire new offensive coordinators and got turned down repeatedly.
Yeah.
Repeatedly. Georgia Tech was at NC State Thursday. We warned you. I mean, I don't think everybody knew this. NC State finds a way to win one of these games every year and wreck somebody.
And they've got a really good offense, and Georgia Tech does not have a really good defense. You go on the road in conference play enough times when you're not a – Georgia Tech's a very good team. They're not a great team. So this is not surprising to see them go out and just lose a shootout, considering they played some close games earlier in the year already. So I don't think this is fatal for Georgia Tech by any means, but it's also not a surprise. This wasn't a team that was going to go 12-0 or even 11-0. Going into that Georgia game.
Yep, this is what it is. NC State, we'll see some more life. Great win, though. Vanderbilt went to Texas. Texas started the game hot, got a lead, hung on. Zach, what else?
I think this Texas team is capable of anything from game to game, quarter to quarter, and that's in both directions. You want to put out a vomit-like offensive game at Kentucky, they can do that. You want to fall behind Mississippi State by 17, they're capable of that. Coming back and beating Mississippi State in one quarter, they're capable of that. Played the best 3.5 quarters they've played in over a year against Vanderbilt, and then come out and do nearly everything you need to do to lose the game, including giving up a 67-yard touchdown. The only way Vanderbilt can make that a game at that point is hitting a deep pass and scoring quickly, and then they allow it on the first play. So – they're missing Michael Taft, missing Jelani McDonald the second he went down. And they're really missing Terry Joseph and Blake Gideon as their secondary coaches. So Dwayne Aquina was hired to coach the safeties. I don't expect Dwayne Aquina to be back next season. There'll be multiple changes to the Texas staff. So they're off this coming week, and then they're at Georgia, and Texas is capable of anything. You need to lose by 30 at Georgia, they can do that, or they can go there and win.
The good news is Arch Manning is playing like who everyone expected him to be at the beginning of the year. These last two games has really, found his stride or whatever you want to say. So that bodes well going into that Georgia matchup.
And they're finally playing the offensive line that most people thought they were going to play for year one. You have a fourth year center in Connor Robertson who's been a depth guy. And then they try to move Cole Hudson to left from left guard to center. They're like, why don't we just play Hudson at left guard? And Robertson at center, who's in his fourth year of the program, been a center the entire time. They did that, and it was by far the best game their offensive line has had all season.
Yeah. Miami finds ways to lose games they shouldn't.
I mean, it feels like if you hire Mario, you're in kind of a purgatory because you're always – he's a great recruiter, great team builder. You're always going to have a competitive roster. But their teams aren't disciplined. They don't major in the small things, and they find ways to lose games they shouldn't, especially on the road in November. They've got tougher games, or at least colder, tougher in terms of environment waiting. They had no business losing that SMU game. SMU's a good, solid team, but terrible loss for Miami. And what a weekend for SMU. You lock up Rhett Lashley, right, and then you win your biggest home game since joining the ACC.
The interest from Arkansas at Rhett was real. So good for SMU, and SMU has all the resources. No reason they shouldn't do that. Great move. Notre Dame handled Boston College, but the story really is Boston College. Boston College beat somebody, I think week one, might have been like a Fordham or somebody, and they're going to lose out like every single game. I don't know. I don't know Bill O'Brien's level bought in, but it doesn't feel correct.
Yeah, see, yeah. It feels like a NFL OC job could come open, and that becomes a soft landing spot. It would seem like at this point.
It doesn't feel good. That program doesn't feel like it's moving in a good direction anyway. Texas Tech went and handled K-State pretty significantly. Zach, any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I think every single game they've won has been by at least 23 points, including this one. So, I mean, they just dismantle teams. They look like a dominant, like a high school team that's just better across the board at every position when they play most of these Big 12 teams. I know that they have the one loss to Arizona State. So they're going to have the biggest game they've had in 17 years coming up in Lubbock with game day will be there. And then they turn right around and play BYU at 11 a.m. So it'll be a wild, wild scene in Lubbock on Saturday.
Love it. Tennessee had the blackout, the power tee. It was illuminated. It was awesome. And then Oklahoma handled their business.
Yeah, I can hear John Bryce right now. I mean, he's sung Joey Swaggular's praises so far this season, but he threw some god-awful interceptions in that game. And Oklahoma's found a run game. And so when you can run the ball, your quarterback looks better. Your defense doesn't have to do as much heavy lifting. So they have a starting running back. They have an identity in the run game. So this was a swing game for Brent Venables and their entire season. So now if they're in a great spot, if you can win your home games from here on out, Alabama's going to be tough. But I think this is the game you needed to win to say this was a successful season, a positive step forward.
Yeah. Yep. Virginia handled Cal. A couple things there. Tony Elliott, when he inherited Virginia, they had some real challenges at the university and within the program and some tragedy. And the way he has battled through that, and boy, he looks like a heck of a football coach right now. Tony Elliott's done a great job. Justin Wilcox is a great guy and has done really nice things at Cal. But they're looking at I think they have 5 wins. They're looking at 6 at the end of the season. Ron Rivera's there. They got, university president. Like, I'm not sure what happens with Cal, but it feels like we might be heading towards a change there. Any thoughts, gentlemen?
Virginia's won a handful of tight games, and I think they're atop the ACC right now. What I am going to find interesting is on Tuesday when the first college football playoff field comes out, where's Virginia fit in that? Are the close losses a good thing, or do they dock them for so many close losses? It's going to be interesting to see where they are. But regardless, where they were last year at this time, to hear their name called at any point in that selection process is going to be exciting for Tony Elliott and his crew.
Yeah, and the I guess rebuttal, and I'm just playing devil's advocate to the Boston College thing, is Virginia could have moved on from Tony Elliott, and they did the where it's like, well, we might as well just invest in him because we're going to spend the money either getting new coaches in here, or we might as well just invest that money in getting new players in here, and they look like a totally different program. So I think if in this day and age, it probably makes more sense for nearly everyone to do that, so long as you believe in the man that you have leading your program, given the resources. And obviously, Tony Elliott has done everything he needed to do to get Virginia's leadership to believe in him as a man, and now they've given him the resources to win, and lo and behold, they're winning.
Yep. Louisville handled Virginia Tech. It is a football game. Cincinnati went into Rice-Eccles at night, and I was on Utah. My picks were terrible this week. I got that one right. Zach, any thoughts?
Yeah, the power of former Lake Dallas Falcon Brendan Sorsby didn't translate to Salt Lake City. When you go 11 of 33 as a starting quarterback on the road, tough to win.
Yes, it is. Purdue played Michigan. Michigan got the win. Purdue showed me a little bit. Showed me some fight. I know it hasn't translated to wins yet, but Purdue looked okay, to be honest. Zach, I'm telling you,
looks like they're at least on the right path with Barry Odom. And yeah. I feel like we said earlier in the year, the quick up-tempo teams give the winks and the former NFL coordinators, if they have any headaches, that is their headache. And Purdue put that on full display. Like that's the recipe. If you have that type of offense, that's the recipe against a Michigan or some of those NFL coordinators coming to the college level, maybe all but Matt Patricia, who just dominates everything right now at Ohio State.
Rich Rod has had a, you know, an up and down season year one West Virginia. They went in there and they took a nice lead and just beat Houston.
Yeah, the talk out of Houston for this game in the Big 12 was, I mean, you had that game was an 11 a.m. local kickoff, and Houston's 7-1 in the top 25, and there were dozens of people in the stands. Like, it was bad even for an AAC type crowd. It was not a Power Four type environment at all in that stadium.
Agreed. Matt Rhule signed a big extension with a massive buyout. You just knew it was coming. Blackout. The blackout looked cool. Offense kind of let down. Special teams kind of let down. Decision making. So huge play in that game. This is Nebraska forces a punt. What? Like, I forget, minute and a half, 2 minutes, something like that? Maybe right outside 2 minute warning, something like that. They're at the 40 yard line. And USC takes the delay of game, backs it up to the 45, and from the 45, punts it and pins it at like the 4. Great kick. And they cut to Rhule just berating Mike Eckler, like, why did you take that penalty? Like, don't let him take that penalty. Don't let him back up. That's crazy. And I'm going, why is Rhule delegating that decision to Eckler? Isn't that Rhule's call? I was like, huh? What happened here? But a huge, huge moment. Pins him at the 4. Those thing about those 5 yards would have been 1 yard in the end zone. Anyway, whatever.
No, I mean, I had the same thought, and I was watching that 2 minute drive, or I think it was like 3:20 when they got the ball left at the 4 yard line, and I'm watching that 2 minute drive, and it takes them a minute 20 to get to like outside their own minus red zone, like to get to the 20 yard line.
5, yeah,
and. Yep. That was the most methodical 2 minute drive I've ever seen in 37 years of watching football. Like, it would have taken them at the pace they were going, it would have taken them about 25 plays and about 10 minutes to go score. And I know you're playing with your backup quarterback, but part of isn't the name of the game roster management, to where you obviously have your starter in Dylan Raiola. Go find someone, a senior at an FCS school that wants to experience a year of big time college football. Have him be your backup. Don't throw a freshman in there that you don't trust to throw the ball more than 2 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. They had no shot. They wouldn't have scored in 8 minutes on a 3 minute drive. So I've been frustrated for years because it seems like the Nebraska media treats Matt Rhule with kid gloves, but the university treats him like with kid gloves. You're kind of on schedule. All right, here's an extension. Well, we're going to increase our buyout. We're going to increase our commitment to you by like $20 million for just merely being on schedule. And we're now 2 3/4 years in, and he still hasn't beaten a top 10 team, or top 25 team. Like, USC was barely that, number 23 at home, and you can't score more than 17 points.
Zach, remind me, you said the last time Matt Rhule beat a top 25 team was 2016?
Yes, 2016 American Championship game. He was at Temple and beat number 19 Navy to win that conference championship.
I'm having shakes over here. I'm sorry. All right. Let's run through a couple other games real quickly. Illinois beat Rutgers. Rutgers is having as bad a year as you can imagine. And I think Rutgers started off the year with, like, they beat Ohio by a smidge. And then they beat Purdue by a smidge. Other than that, Rutgers has a lot of L's. I mean, like, a lot. There's questions up there. New university president, new athletic director. Coming from LSU, I'm getting a lot of, hey, just letting you know, things might be happening at Rutgers type stuff. Duke hung like 98 points on Clemson's defense. Maybe not 98, but a bazillion. And Dabo lost his mind. And the defense was yelling at each other. The staff was yelling at each other. There was apathy from some of the players after the game. With the athletic director in the room, Dabo's like, hey, maybe he fires me right now. The air of arrogance is a lot. It's a lot.
Feels like about 6 years ago that this team was ranked number 4 in the country. That's how they started. And now I believe that's 6 straight home losses to Power 4 opponents for Clemson. 6 straight home losses.
We're talking about Dabo Swinney and Bill Belichick being among the worst teams in the ACC right now. Like, imagine us having that conversation at the beginning.
Well, thank
year.
God for Clemson's sake, they got to play North Carolina.
Moving right along.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. What do you do if you're Clemson? How long can you tolerate this?
For the first time in forever, the texts are starting to come in saying, hey, might go down. And honestly, it might be good for Dabo in the long run for a change of pace, for a change of, you know, scenery.
Hit the reset.
It really might. Who knows? Army, Air Force. How about Army getting that last drive, that last big pass to get them down to field goal range and nailing the field goal? Heck of a – I mean, I love when America plays America. It's awesome.
So now we'll have Army-Navy for the Commander-in-Chief's trophy in December.
Just like it was meant to be. Navy went to North Texas. North Texas got out big and just stayed there. Zach, give me some thoughts.
Yeah, I hope no one's taking my gambling advice because in addition to – Cincinnati over Utah. I also had the over on this one, and the under hit significantly. It was wild to watch the game day people all pick Navy across the board, and it's obvious none of them have watched North Texas. And I frankly obviously didn't see North Texas went holding Navy to 17, but I thought all along they were going to win this game, and they did. This is a really good football team. Skylar Cassidy deserves all the credit for transforming that defense overnight, because just being good enough defensively with where they are offensively, everything's on the table. And now they're probably going to go 11-1. What does that mean for them to make the conference championship? I have no idea. They're one of like 5 1-loss teams. But this was the one to go get. And I'm really happy for everyone. That South Florida game we covered was enormous. They got blown out. Now you have another opportunity, an undefeated Navy team at home, national TV, and you go out and get the win. Huge for them.
Huge. Love it. All right. I still got about 15 more games. Rapid fire. Arizona State goes to Ames, gets the win. Iowa State's offense didn't look right. I don't know. Thoughts? Quick?
Yeah. Hey, so Kenny Dillingham.
Oh, go ahead, Doug.
Kenny Dillingham gave the whole team the week off. They're entering a bye week. Gave them the whole week off, which never happens. So that tells you where he feels like his team is from a – mental standpoint, from a physical standpoint, to give them a week off and hey, we'll see you next Sunday. That's dang incredible.
All right. Early season, a lot of people were like, man, Dan Mullen's got his team 6-0. He's a certified ball coach. Dan Mullen just lost to New Mexico. Dan's wins, UNLV's wins when they were 6-0. Sam Houston is terrible. Idaho State, not very good at all. UCLA when they were bad. They snuck out a win at Miami, Ohio by 3, and they got crumble cookies on the plane. Best video I've ever seen. They won at Wyoming. All right, that's fine. And they snuck Air Force by 3 right at the end. You remember that win right at the end? That was 6 wins, but geez. They got worked by Boise, and they just lost at the hands of New Mexico. Boise got destroyed by Fresno State. Matt Entz, dude, year one. Let's go, son. UNLV, Jason Eck produces amazing content. The lowrider video was outstanding. Great fun. Anybody want to add anything there?
I think that's 3 straight Fresno wins over Boise. And I think that's 3 straight wins for Fresno on the blue turf.
Son, got your number. Like it. Michigan State had a chance against Minnesota and then they lost. And, PJ just keeps winning games and rowing the boat, bro. Let's go.
Yeah, Michigan State scored late, and then their possession on defense, starting with the kickoff, was terrible. They kicked the ball out of bounds and gave the ball to Minnesota at the 35. Then there was a face mask penalty, I think, 2 plays later, gave them an extra 15 yards. And then I believe it was in the overtime, the first overtime, Michigan State got called for a pass interference, but then they wiped it off somehow. They said, oh, no, there was no pass interference. I don't know how the heck that happens. And then the same thing happens on the other side. Pass interference call, that one stays, gives Minnesota the first down, and they end up scoring on second or third down after that pass interference call. So it was just sloppy just gross Michigan State football at the end of the game. That they played solid defense for the whole game, but that last possession proved they did not do enough to win that game.
South Alabama at home lost to Louisiana Lafayette. Lafayette's on their third quarterback. His name is Lunch. I'm not kidding. His name is Lunch Winfield. And the dude, Louisiana's had a really hard season. The quarterback went down, and Daniel Beal stepped in, and it wasn't working there with Lunch now. South Alabama beat somebody to start the season, like an FCS team. And then they snuck out. That was like a Tuesday night game, Wednesday night game against Georgia State, two teams that are not playing well at all. That's it. That's all South Alabama has on the board, an FCS and a Georgia State Tuesday nighter.
Yeah, they've lost a bunch of tight ones. Tulane was a two-point game. Troy was a touchdown game. That Georgia State game was a touchdown game. Arkansas State lost by one. They just haven't been on the winning side of those close ones.
Hey, Jeff Lebby got an SEC dub. Let's go, baby. That's awesome. Straight up. Bobby Petrino just.
Yeah, I know there was speculation he could be the full-time answer, and he was never going to be the full-time answer. So I'm thankful for Arkansas, truly, that this is happening, because you're then getting some wins would have lulled you into a bad, bad, bad decision for the long term with that program.
Western beat Central Michigan. Good win for Lance's team on the Central side, Doug. Drinkle has their baby, has to drive himself to the game, gets there like an hour before the game. It's just awesome. It's a great story. I wish they had kind of – just for him to be able to tell that story the rest of his life, they won, it would have been awesome.
I agree. Yeah. I think they had their baby Thursday or Friday, maybe early Friday morning. They were going to get discharged Saturday around noon. I think kickoff was at 4. Mm-hmm. And so he was going to meet the team down there and hopefully get there by kickoff from what I heard. And I told him, like, hey, maybe you need to call in. It's been a heck of an entrance, but then to win that one would have made it so much better.
Amen. For the sake of this, if they'd won the game, for the sake of the story, by the time their baby girl was graduating from high school, getting married, then Matt would have just strolled in at kickoff.
That's exactly how it happened. If we had won, it would have been a great story. All right, Arizona at Colorado. Colorado just doesn't look like they care. I don't know what Prime's going to do. I really don't. I don't know how he can handle that. San Diego State just keeps rolling people. I mean, he's not up here, but they're rolling them.
Yeah, and it seems wild that Prime fired Sean Lewis, fired him. And now look who's come out ahead of that decision.
Yeah, that was a personality thing. Kentucky rolls into Jordan-Hare and sent Hugh packing. I mean, we're close. I can just feel we're close. Auburn fans have just lost their mind with we're close. I know we keep losing, but I can just tell we're close. I know we're close. You can't use that for a year, Hugh.
There was a lot of action going on late Saturday night. I was glued to that final drive like they were playing for a national championship. And it did not.
Because they were playing for something, but not that.
Because you started Ashton Daniels, and then you go to Jackson Arnold. And frankly, I hadn't tuned into that game at all. So all I'm seeing a montage of sack, 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 sack. And then Ashton Daniels is back in the game, and Cole Kubelik, former Auburn offensive lineman, is doing the color. And Tom Hart turns him and says, Ashton Daniels is back in the game. Explain that to me. And there's about 8 seconds of silence, and Cole Kubelik's like, I can't explain that right now.
Moments you live for.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, we got a couple more little games. Wake has been beating teams, like straight up beating them. Jake Dickert has shown he is a ball coach. Wake had no players. First year, what? Dude came from across the country. No one's ever heard of him. He can't recruit. They're donking people. And Florida State goes in there and almost beats them 42-0. Huh? Florida State.
Is that Florida State's first ACC win since the 2023 ACC championship game?
It is.
I'm going to guess it is
because you're moved to 13-0.
Wow. Good stuff. Yeah. The Fighting Butch Joneses put up some wins every now and then. They got a nice one at Troy. Troy's had some great wins this season. And Butch Jones went in there and took care of business. That's pretty cool. Last game I want to talk about, we have two. Hawaii was at San Jose State. Hawaii's had their best season in forever. I thought Hawaii was going to win that game. And the Fighting Kins just kept coming back. They kept counterpunching. And the Niumatalolos had enough at the end.
That's a level. We need to get you a play-by-play job. That was great commentary right there.
All right, last one of the night. Washington, the leftouts. Washington State, Oregon State, right? Oregon State finally pulled the plug on Trent Bray, put Rob Akey as the head guy interim. And, man, they came out with some fight. Jimmy Rogers' team has played really well at times this season. And nobody expected Oregon State to win that game. And yet the Beavers, Rob Akey, he goes, how you like them apples? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I felt great for Rob Akey to go watching these interim coaches take over, especially in their first game, because you know how much it means to them. Yep. Seeing that, and then I'm contrasted to the shot of Billy Gonzalez when Florida was obviously going to lose to Georgia. It just looked like his soul was leaving his body. You felt really bad for him because you know how much that would have meant for him to go get that win. But as bad as I felt for Billy Gonzalez, I felt that great for Rob Akey.
Yeah, amen. All right, YouTube TV, get it figured out. We can't go another Saturday like this. This was terrible.
Can I throw one more game in? I'm pretty sure Dave Aranda was going to get run if Baylor lost it to UCF. Baylor had homecoming, and we've already seen a couple mm-hmm. coaches get fired after homecoming losses. And then they went out and were up like 34-0 and just handled UCF. So I don't think that changes the math long term, but good for him for this week.
Quick closing thought. Okay, so Auburn, it's just terrible. Auburn has at Vanderbilt, Mercer, and Alabama left. And I saw a tweet last night, somebody saying they need a split. They need to win either Vanderbilt or Alabama to become bowl eligible. Friends, Mercer is going to go into Auburn, Alabama, and win that football game.
Ooh. You heard it here first.
Straight up. Football Scoop Week 10 Recap. Always enjoy these. Keep an eye on the scoop today. Things might be going down. With that said, we're out of here. JB, safe travels.